The sermon for the third Sunday after the Epiphany, January 25th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities, and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text is from Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is our text. And now for a sermon entitled, A New Trajectory. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 54, verse 2, records the Lord saying to his chosen people, "Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes." Here he was employing a metaphor that would have been familiar to a people living in tents. This is what he was telling them to do. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. In other words, they were to be looking towards expanding and growing. This actually applies to you and me in our own place and time as the people of God. We are his people, having accepted the word of Jesus' preaching. Which word is that? Well, it's the word that he went out preaching among the people, following his baptism, and following his ordeal in the wilderness, having been tempted by Satan. After John's arrest, our text today from St. Matthew informs us that Jesus withdrew into Galilee. He next left Nazareth and went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, which actually fulfilled another Isaiah prophecy of how this land of darkness has seen a great light, and how on them a light has dawned. This would be Jesus' base from where he would select many of his disciples and begin his ministry. He would enlighten those sitting in darkness. Yes, after establishing himself there, our text tells us that from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, just what was Jesus asking them to do with that word, repent? Well, we might say that it is a loaded term. First of all, it means to be sorry for what you have done, wishing that you had not done it. It involves agreeing that you are a sinner and thus are on the wrong trajectory. You admit that your actions, which not only go contrary to God's law, but also against your own conscience, are a problem for you, especially when it comes to giving an account to God. Furthermore, you are aware that your sin is not just in deeds, but also in your words. In fact, you realize that you sin just in your thoughts, for example, with hatred, lust, or covetousness. What is worse, you realize that you've sinned by simply not doing some of the things you should have. Secondly, to repent means that you want to leave as much of that as possible behind you. You want to embark in a new direction, setting yourself on an alternative and better trajectory. Therefore, you not only change your mind, but you change the direction of your life, possibly as much as 180 degrees. Evidence all around us suggests that the kingdom of heaven truly is at hand. The Lord might be coming soon to put an end to this world as it presently is. In addition, you and I could encounter death at any day. We don't want to have to give an account of ourselves to the Almighty with all our many sins. Good news, however, is that there is a light shining in the darkness, and that the light is Jesus. And since he is the one calling sinners to repent, this means that he is calling them, after they repent from sin, to turn towards him in faith and in trust. By turning to Jesus in this way, a sinner finds forgiveness, and with that, a whole new life. Case in point, certain fishermen. This new resident from Nazareth, who had moved into their city, had captured these men's attention with his teaching, preaching, and his healing. They had been convicted of their sin and sought to heed the call to repentance. But this was not going to leave them where they were. Instead, it was going to set them upon a whole new trajectory. Which one is that? Well, let's get a bit of context. For it was while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These two sets of fishermen, who were also two sets of brothers, were both invited and directed by Jesus to a whole new trajectory. Though there was nothing wrong with being fishermen, a noble occupation, he had something new in mind for them. We might say that this would involve lengthening their cords and strengthening their stakes, enlarging their tents and stretching their curtains. It would take them out of their comfort zone, small boats catching fish, to a whole new adventure. They would become, to use Jesus' term, fishers of men. Friends, you and I are here today because we too have heard Jesus' call to repent. We admit, too, that we are sinners who need to change direction, especially in the face of an upcoming judgment. Praise be to God, Jesus is the one calling us to turn to him in faith and trust. And in so repenting, there is forgiveness of sins. It's not that easy. Hardship would be involved. And the one who would endure this difficulty is the very one who calls us to repentance. You see, our sin cannot simply be overlooked, forgotten, or swept under the carpet. Instead, it must be satisfied. After all, Adam and Eve had been warned prior to the fall concerning the forbidden fruit, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. However, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus would save mankind from the deserved penalty of sin by taking on to himself the sins of the world. He would allow himself to be crucified, lifted up on Calvary's cross, and there he would die, shedding his holy blood to make atonement. When we repent of sin and turn to Christ in faith and trust, our sins are forgiven, and we have the hope of eternal life. it's as certain as Jesus rising again from the dead upon Easter. Repentance isn't the end. Rather, it's the beginning of a whole new adventure. It means leaving behind our boats and nets and possibly our fathers or other family members and friends. It's about going forth on a new trajectory in a whole new direction. Powerful examples of this are Simon and Andrew, James and John, who left it all behind to heed the invitation of Jesus to follow me. Wow, were they in for an adventure. I'm sure they often felt overwhelmed by what they had gotten themselves into. They journeyed with Jesus, going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. They were there while Jesus' fame spread throughout all Syria. They were present and assisted people as they brought to Jesus all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. They had to get involved in crowd control, since great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from all beyond the Jordan. To say the least, it was an adventure, and it would continue even after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Matthew tells us how Jesus, prior to departing, commissioned them, saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Faithful unto death, Simon and Andrew, James and John did what they could to follow Jesus as fishers of men, casting gospel nets, calling sinners to repentance. They lengthened their cords and strengthened their stakes, enlarging their tents, stretching forth their curtains. Friends, what about you and me? Are we continuing in a life of repentance, being sorry for our sins and turning away from them and to Jesus? Are we on a new trajectory, following Jesus and doing what we can to expand his kingdom, catching people? May God forgive us for our failures. May he help us do what the disciples did, following Jesus, glorifying God on this Christian adventure upon which we have embarked. It's good to leave our small boats and sail with our Savior in the boat of the church, fishing for men and women along the way. Repentance isn't a one-and-done action by us. Instead, it's a daily reality. Luther once said it best, that when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Repentance isn't a single act, but a continuous lifelong turning from sin to God, involving both inner change and outward actions. It's an opportunity to be more of what we would be otherwise, expanding and growing to the glory of God, set upon a whole new trajectory, a whole new adventure with him. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.